Hello, and welcome to this Aspiring Mormon Women podcast on mentoring. My name is Kristan Harrison, and I am one of the mentoring and networking coordinators for Aspiring Mormon Women. I am excited to be hosting our very first podcast about mentoring, and I'm looking forward to hearing from two fabulous and accomplished women, Whitney Johnson and Lisa Gregory. First, they're going to give us a little background about themselves, what they've done, and what they're doing now. Lisa, why don't you go ahead and start with that, and then Whitney can follow.
Sure, I'm Lisa Gregory. I'm currently Vice President of North American Instructor Relations at Learning Tree International, which is an IT and management training company based in just outside Washington, D.C. in Western Virginia. My background is all around the professional development of employees, of managers. I started my training career with Delta Airlines doing IT management and customer service training. And started in the classroom as a facilitator, moved to the design side, got a master's in instructional technology, which has had a design training courses, and then moved to the corporate executive board where I did a lot of executive coaching and counseling and teaching, advising, mostly heads of sales, heads of HR departments, training and development, and recruiting departments, presidents, VPs, and so on of those departments in large organizations across the globe. So I've had a lot of direct experience as a manager myself and as a leader and as a trainer, but then a lot of indirect experience through others. As part of that, I worked with some companies on developing mentoring programs, obviously a lot of training programs, and then that brought me here to Learning Tree. So needless to say, I love the world of development, business development, employee development, manager development, and personal development. So, and mentoring and coaching has been a big part of that in my professional life, and I'm excited to be part of this conversation today.
Thank you, Lisa. Okay, Whitney?
My background is slightly different. I am from the finance world. I actually started out as a music major, so that may give people hope that you can major in something very, very different from what you actually end up doing in your career. As I said, I majored in music at Brigham Young University, and then my husband and I headed to New York where he was studying at Columbia University, and I needed to start working and decided that I really wanted to work on Wall Street and do something that would also use the Spanish that I had learned on my mission. And so I started working for a retail broker. Eventually that led me to be very piqued and interested in finance generally. I started taking courses at night in finance and economics and business and accounting, and worked my way up to study or actually to become an investment banker and then eventually an equity research analyst. And that, from a very high level, is an analyst that works at Merrill Lynch, for example, and has an opinion on the stocks that the company has to follow, like America Mobile in Latin America, whether it's a buy or a sell, and I would build a financial model on that in order to make that determination. Subsequently, I took a sabbatical, which I'll talk a little bit more about in a minute, and then co-founded an investment firm with Clay Christensen here at the Harvard Business School. In terms of the idea of mentoring, I think that that has been something that I've come to in a very de facto sort of way of looking at my career and wishing that there had been more people that I could talk to, that I could reach out to as I was trying to navigate my career, particularly as a Mormon woman. There were very few individuals that I felt that I could reach out to. Certainly on the career side, on the mothering side, there were individuals aplenty, but really trying to figure out this, how I was going to navigate my career and then navigate being a career woman and a mother. And so that's my interest in mentoring, and I've done a lot of it, and I'll talk more about that in a minute, but it is a pleasure for me to be here today.
All right, well, thank you both for kind of giving us a little bit about where you've been and what you're doing now and some of the exciting things you've been working on. I really look forward to hearing some of your thoughts on mentoring. Lisa, I wanted to start with you. You talked about that you've worked a lot with companies, helping them set up mentoring programs. I was wondering if you could give us kind of a working definition of what mentoring is and what successful mentoring looks like.
Sure. So I believe, just to set the ground work, I believe there are really two ways to learn. You either learn through your own experience or you learn through others. And mentoring is a great opportunity to actually combine both of those approaches in one relationship. So a general definition of mentoring is the goal is to pass on learning and development. The generally accepted definition, one of them, is that it's a dynamic relationship, usually involving a mentor and a protege or mentor and mentee. The mentor is typically farther along in their career and higher in an organization if it's hierarchical, and spends their time together, the two of them spend their time together in a mutually beneficial relationship. Sometimes people think that it's kind of a one-way street, so the mentor sharing down to the mentee or protege and helping that person grow, which is part of that dynamic and part of that relationship. But actually, through the course of the conversation, the goal is for them, for it to be mutually beneficial. We'll talk a little bit more about how that manifests in that relationship. But it's a general working definition that would be the relationship between two people that's dynamic, that's centered on learning and development, particularly as it relates typically to career paths, to growth and development in organizations.
All right, thank you for that. Whitney, I have visited and read parts of your website that has a lot of motivational and ideas and talks about mentoring. It seems like you've kind of taken on the role of an online mentor to many women. Can you tell me about, you know, what were the things that you saw or experiences that you had? You mentioned a little bit about that, that kind of inspired you to start this, and what have you seen to be successful in mentoring online as well as offline?
Sure. So the genesis of this was really in 2005, I had left Wall Street, taken what turned out to be a sabbatical before I co-founded the investment fund. And one of the things that happened is I started talking to a lot of women because I had time. I wasn't working 80 hours a week. And so I would talk to friends and friends of friends and daughters of friends, and almost compulsively, I think, I would just ask them. I was so excited about the future, I would ask them, what's your dream? And frequently I would hear women say to me, I don't have a dream. Or I would hear, I have a dream, but I don't know how to do my dream. And frequently there was an unspoken, I'm not sure it's my privilege to dream. And a lot of these women that I was talking to were actually Mormon women, not all. And I was both concerned, but I was mostly just really sad by this. I just thought, I have to do something. I have to persuade these women that it's really their privilege and their birthright to dream. And then also there was this aspect of, I needed to persuade myself that what I'd been able to accomplish on Wall Street wasn't just a one-off. And so I decided that I needed to build a case for dreaming. But what's interesting is that I first started out with my blog on building that case of trying to persuade women that it was important to dream. But about a year and a half in, when I needed to have more content, I decided to ask women to share the stories of their dreams. And so this is sort of the mother of invention is necessity. In this particular instance, it certainly was. But what was really magical about that is that as I asked women to start sharing the stories of their dreams, it turned into this mentoring relationship, because I didn't just ask them, okay, do you want to write a blog and I'll slap it up onto my blog post? I would ask and continue to ask, okay, tell me the two or three things that you're thinking about, that you're trying to puzzle through. And once they would tell me those two or three things, we would have a conversation either online or via phone and really nail down a topic that they needed to write their way into to understanding and figuring out. And so in the process of that, I would kind of get to mentor them and learn from them. And that led to now all this wonderful archives of stories of women sharing their dreams. But it's turned out that in many instances there's become this give and take of mentoring them, but my also learning from them.
Great. Thank you for sharing that. I can really relate to what you said. I grew up in a very small town in Idaho, and I felt like I, you know, really didn't have a lot of mentors or role models. And it's as Aspiring Mormon Women and other projects like yours have really been helpful to me, and hopefully we can kind of pass that down to other women that are needing mentors. Lisa, I want to go back to you now and talk a little bit more about some of the basics of mentoring. As we talked about, you said that before, that it's a win-win situation for both sides. A lot of times I think people, when they think about being a mentor, they think they're really busy, and they have a lot going on, and that it's going to take too much time or too much effort. So if you tell me about the benefits of being a mentor and kind of what the role of the mentor is, you know, how do you become motivated to be a mentor?
Sure. So one of the main roles of a mentor is to be a role model. To be a role model, to provide support and direction, feedback to someone who is not quite as far along a path as you are. Now, it doesn't have anything to do with age. It has everything to do with experience and perspective. And one of the key points in a lot of mentoring relationships, which depending on your mentor may or may not be the same here, but one of the typical components of that is for the mentor to also introduce the protege to other leaders in the organization who can advance that person's career. Now, in Aspiring Mormon Women, most of us won't be working, hardly any of us will be working in the same organizations. However, we can still introduce each other to others within our industries or within our areas of interest that can help us along our path, and that's one of the roles of a mentor. So that's kind of what a mentor brings to the table and gives. What do they receive? Christiane, as you mentioned, it is a lot of giving, but I like to say it's an investment, because I've never had a mentoring relationship that didn't pay dividends back to me as a mentor. One of the beautiful things about mentoring is it is mutual learning. It's an opportunity to give back. So for many of us who have a little bit of altruistic or grateful hearts, who want to be able to give back to a community, here's one way to express that desire in a meaningful way. But you can't be a mentor without being reflective. And to understand, kind of dissect, well, how did you get to where you are? How did you learn what you learned? What are the next steps? And as you get reflective on that, your own path becomes clearer to you, which allows you to apply those things that worked in the past into your own future for your own advancement, and also helps you see, at least in my experience, those places where you're a little bit weaker or where things are holding you back, and where you might need your own mentor or coach or someone to help you overcome those things that are holding you back in yourself. I have always learned from and through conversations with mentees. So the time that is invested, I would say it is an investment, because there is definitely a dividend, there's definitely a return. And in my experience, those have been the biggest returns. More clarity about my own path, fulfillment of my desire to be able to give back, and more clarity in my own future path.
Great. Lisa, just to kind of follow up with you, do you have any examples that you could, you know, share to kind of illustrate, you know, all those points that you were talking about, maybe either what time that you've been a mentor or that you've been the mentee?
Sure. So I can give you probably two examples. And I believe you can be mentored by a lot of different people, and they all bring something different to the table. I've been mentored by men. I've been mentored by women. I've been mentored formally and informally by members of the church and those who are not of any faith or who are of a different religion. In being able to mentor, one of the situations I can think about, I was mentoring a young woman who had chosen to take the same educational path that I had in terms of pursuing a master's degree in training, design, and development. And the question this person asked was, what inspired you, Lisa, to take this path? And so it went back, and I was able to share some milestones for decision points in my life that led me down this path. I didn't figure out what I wanted to be until I was 27 years old, way after I had graduated undergrad from BYU. And some people get it a lot earlier, some people got it a lot later. Everybody's path's different. So I was able to share that with her. But as I went through those milestones, I was able to see a thread in them that I hadn't seen before. And that thread is, I am a learner, and I love the world of learning. And that doesn't seem to be, I'm in the world of training, so that seems a little obvious. However, my desire to be in the classroom and to design meaningful training that helps people and affects them is what drives me to do the work that I do and in this industry. And I believe that personal development happens as, or can happen as we do professional development. It's not just about the skills we learn in the classroom, it's about the experience and what I become through that. And so just having to have that conversation and articulate that helped me lock that in a way that I hadn't ever articulated to myself before, and certainly had never articulated to another person. And then I start to make decisions now that allow me to develop people beyond the skills in the classroom. And it has affected the way that I approach training and training design and coaching others. So it's one example of an insight that I got only because I had a very curious person and a very anxious person about her own path who was asking me a lot of questions. And I've seen that, without going into more detail, I've seen that also on the flip side, as I have become curious about some of my mentors and their paths, I see light bulbs go on for them, and they're able to articulate to themselves and to me the true heart of the decisions and the reasons for their decisions.
Great. Thank you for sharing some of those personal experiences. So Whitney, can you tell us a little bit about how to become a successful mentor? And I would really be interested kind of in your experiences online and offline, and you know, if you think there's a better way or combining them. You know, how do you seek out, you know, being a mentor, or does it tend to happen more naturally? What do you feel about that?
Those are all great questions. I'd love to build just quickly on the process that Lisa mentioned, and then I can absolutely share a couple of experiences. One of the things I think, at least for me, for a long time, I had this idea in my head that a mentor was a person like, you know, like Yoda, or, you know, actually, is it Yoda or Obi-Wan Kenobi? Anyway, you know, just sort of this wise patriarchal or matriarchal person that's there throughout, you know, your entire life to guide you, kind of like a fairy godmother. And sometimes we have that, but I think that because that archetype is so ingrained and sort of etched in our consciousness, that we don't sometimes recognize that mentoring actually comes in very different forms. And sometimes there can be mentors that come and they're there for a very short period of time. And so one thing I would think about is people are looking for mentors, and I think maybe I'm scooping this a little bit, but I think it's important to think about, okay, there may be something very specific that I need to know how to do right now, like I need to know how to negotiate my next salary, or I need to know how to negotiate a raise, etc. And being able to seek out a person that can provide you advice on that, have some very specific questions, they may help you, and then it may be that you're finished in a month, but they will have mentored you, and you will have learned from them as well. And so, but it can be a very short-term arrangement. So I think that that's an important thing for us to consider as we're reflecting on the nature of a mentoring relationship. In terms of experiences that I've had, I guess I would start with one that was really more personal for me. As I took this sabbatical from Wall Street, my children were 9 and 5 respectively, and I was really spending more time trying to figure out how to mother and how to parent, because I hadn't been spending 24 hours a day on this. And I certainly found that there were many, many women in my ward in particular that I was able to look at and learn from on how they were mentoring, in particular some of the women that were caring for my children while I was working. So there was a lot that I was able to learn from them about how to parent, and those have been really valuable experiences for me. In terms of people that I have mentored, there have been a couple of different ways that this has unfolded. One is like Lisa's, where I had a woman who was graduating with her MBA and had studied music, and so she came to me and said, you know, can I talk to you about how you've navigated this? So it was effectively like a 15-minute conversation. I then invited her to blog on my blog so she could kind of write through her story. And then subsequently, she would check in with me occasionally. And then when she moved from Provo to Los Angeles, I introduced her to a few people that could be helpful to her in finding a job. We occasionally talk to each other now, but not as much. And so, again, there's this ebb and flow to that relationship. Another person, which was much more hands-on, is a woman by the name of Macy Robison, who I would say I mentored her in the sense of encouraging her to put together a cabaret-style recital around mothering. And so I mentored her in that respect and kind of pulled her along, but it turns out that she then invited me to play the piano for her when she was doing that recital. And so she was mentoring me and giving me that opportunity to play and accompany her as she performed this recital at Time Out for Women. So very much this back and forth, this learning, this developing together. And then the last one is much, I would say, a little bit more transactional. As a young woman who's just had her first child, he's like 2 years old, she reached out to me, she wanted some thoughts on how do you navigate this career, etc. I was helpful to her, but then it subsequently, when I wanted my daughter to learn some computer programming, she was willing to spend 4 or 5 hours just mentoring and teaching my daughter. So there was this wonderful sort of quid pro quo transaction of I mentored her, she mentored my daughter, but in effect mentored me. So I think there's a lot of different forms that it can take. Again, it can be this lifelong thing, but it can also be very short term, maybe a little bit more transactional. But as Lisa said, and I would underscore, the best mentoring relationships are ones where you, the mentor, are giving something, but the mentee is giving back, not only in terms of gratitude, but finding ways to be helpful to you, because they no doubt know many things and have different insights and understanding that the mentor does not have.
Thank you for both of you for sharing. I think what's really come through is that, you know, mentoring, although sometimes we think about it as the mentor taking on a lot of the burden, it really is a two-way street. And I think as with in any relationships I've realized in my career, that you never know where things are going to go or, you know, where things are going to lead. And those relationships can be really valuable in the future to both parties. And so it's a nice way to connect and then kind of keep that connection going. Whitney, I'm going to stay with you here and ask you a little bit. You talked a little bit about the flip side of being a mentor, and that's being the mentee. So if you are looking for a mentor, how do you seek that out, and how do you set up a good relationship when you are the mentee, when you're, you know, looking for that kind of a situation?
Great question. Okay, so I think there's a couple of very specific tactical things you can do as one's aspiring protege. And I think that is, number one, be very clear on what it is you're trying to do. You know, what problem do you need to solve, number one. And then number two is to, once you've identified the person that you would like to help you, to reach out to them and say, I'm trying to do X, Y, and Z, and I've noticed that because of your experience, I think you could provide me with some very valuable advice. Would you be willing to either speak with me on the phone, or if your time does not allow that, may I send you 2 or 3 questions via email that you could answer for me? And so that you're then starting to put the relationship into play. And typically people will respond to you. But then once you've identified that and they've helped you, then you need to be creative and think, okay, how can I let them know that this wasn't a one-off? Maybe it is, but if you want to stay engaged with them, then try to find a way to reciprocate. And one of the easiest ways, I would say, in our social media world is that when I've helped someone and then I find that subsequently they, you know, follow my tweet stream and they retweet things that I've written, or they, you know, find a person that they think is really interesting and they say, you know, I want you to know so-and-so because I think they're interesting, then what they're saying is, I'm trying to turn this into a two-way street. So I think the best way to find a mentor, again, is to identify who you're reaching out to, be very specific about you, what you want. Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg has some great examples on this. And then once you've engaged on something, find some way to enter into a sort of quid pro quo.
Right. Thanks. I really like how you talked about the importance of being really proactive and knowing what you want, because it doesn't really help if you just say, I want a mentor, will you help me? You know, you have to really be specific and know, like, what are the few questions that you really want answered? What do you really want help with? Because if as a mentee, you don't really know what you want to do and what direction that you're going in, then it's a less desirable situation for the person that's going to mentor. So Lisa, do you have any more thoughts about that? And specifically, I was thinking maybe you could add, you know, Whitney talked a little bit more about kind of going out and finding a mentor that has a specific skill. What about maybe a mentor that you kind of already know or you have a little bit of a relationship? How could you grow that into more of a mentor relationship with maybe somebody you work for? And then, again, you talked a little bit about this before, but would you recommend a woman, an LDS woman, to be your mentor? Or do you think it doesn't really matter, or maybe having some of both?
So there's a bunch of questions. I will try to address them. First of all, if I can piggyback on the selection, as Whitney has so well articulated, it needs to be specific in the initiation phase of that relationship. And what I mean is, will you be my mentor, as you say, Christiane? Much too ambiguous and really broad. And as has already been mentioned, you know, I'm already guessing that this is going to be a time commitment. I don't know if I'm going to get a return as a potential mentor. I'm not sure. So by going to someone that you respect and you think can be a potential mentor and going to them with a few specific questions, hey, do you have a few minutes? Could I meet with you next week? Always be very respectful of their time. You might even send the questions ahead of time so they can think about them and offer you some thoughtful answers. Just say, I'm looking for this. I think you might be a great person. Do you mind if I take a bit of your time, or would you give me a bit of your time? Can we share some ideas and can I talk through this with you? That allows them to kind of test run, do I even like talking to this person, right? And allows you to do the same. From there, it's much easier to say, hey, this was really valuable to me. Always follow up with a thank you and ask them then for another meeting. And come again prepared with questions, and then you can approach them at some point and say, hey, can we do this on a regular basis? Typical mentoring tends to be about once a month, but if you need more help, it can be more often than that. Set a time frame, set expectations, and definitely set the playing field that if at any times this doesn't work anymore for the mentor, without ever calling them that, just tell them it's okay, we're still good friends, I still respect you. If you get too busy, just let me know. And so you set the framework of a very open conversation and very a safe place to engage. We're not going to ruin the friendship. We're not going to ruin whatever other relationship we might have if we enter into a mentoring type relationship. So I would just offer that in terms of soliciting and finding a mentor. For some of us, we don't have anyone in our immediate circle who would be a great mentor for what we're looking for. So I would say don't be shy. Tell everyone you're looking for someone who blank, 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 right? Dot, dot, dot. And you would be surprised who has whom in their network and would be happy to introduce you to other great people. So reach out and ask for other help. I think you also asked, Christiane, about who you should ask. Is it important to have a woman? Is it important to have an LDS woman? Mentoring actually kind of has two sides of the coin. So I would say the answer to that depends on which coin is most pressing for you at the time. So one side of that coin for mentoring is career focused. It is, or tends to be, career oriented, helping with your career development. The other side is kind of a psychological, social side. It's building one's confidence. It's understanding another person, helping us identify the growth areas that we have, counseling, friendship, confirmation. I love, Whitney, what you said earlier, that some of us don't even dare to dream. And so I would put that on the psychosocial side of the mentoring coin. Sometimes you just need someone who can say, well, of course you can do it. Well, why wouldn't you dream big? Go big or go home. So who do you need? That kind of depends on which side you're looking for. As I mentioned before, I've been mentored by men. I've been mentored by women, LDS, non-LDS, agnostic. I do find that when I am looking for psychosocial support, I tend to go towards women because I find that we relate to each other in a different way and that I get that kind of support more readily from a woman. I find that LDS women have a particular perspective in the area of balance. So much of what we struggle with in developing careers as Mormon women is also the balance with kind of an eternal perspective, with the other aspects of our hearts and our lives, our families, children if you have them, spouses if you have them, even just how do I balance it with being a Relief Society sister and my visiting teacher, and so in teaching? And so I find it's really wonderful to have an LDS woman as a mentor to help see the balance, and so much the better if she can cross over onto the career-oriented side of the mentoring coin. So I would say, going back to what Whitney said earlier, be very clear on what you're looking for, what you need, or what you think you need. Start there, and then determine who you might need to be your mentor. But I would say, don't be afraid of being mentored by a lot of different people over the course of time, or even sometimes at the same time, depending on, again, what side of that coin is dominant at the time.
Yeah, and if I could just, Lisa, you made me think of one thing. I think, again, there's this idea of that you're going to have one mentor, like I'm going to find one person that will fill all my needs. And the reality is like you said, you can have lots of different mentors. It can be very tactical. There can be one person that can teach you to cook. There can be one person who can teach you to, you know, figure out how to project manage. There's lots of different people that can fill different needs. And so the more open you are to being a little bit tactical, the more you're going to be able to get the help that you need and also really broaden your network in this really meaningful and life-giving way.
Great. Thank you both for sharing. And I like that you both have brought in that mentoring doesn't have to just be about your career. It can be about your personal life. It can be combining the two. And mentors can come in many different forms. I'd like to kind of ask both of you a little bit about how mentoring has changed through the stages of your life. You know, what were you looking for in a mentor when you were, you know, young, first starting out? How did you transition into being a mentor yourself?
Let's see. I think, you know, I would say that early on, I think I was looking for the fairy godmother, and I think that's partly developmental, right? You know, as you're in your 20s, you're looking for someone who's sort of a stand-in for your parents. Some, you know, as you're graduating to being, you know, really individuating, and so I would say that initially I was looking kind of for that fairy godmother. Oftentimes, didn't find it, and again, I think that's partly because I was looking for the wrong thing, and then, you know, you start hitting your 40s and you realize, oh, I'm the mentor now. Like, that's going to be primarily my role. I have to be a grown-up. I can't keep looking for someone to mentor me. Not to say that they're not out there, but that sort of mantle shifts. And I think the thing that where I am in terms of my own evolution is actually quite interesting, in that I know that I'm mentoring a lot of people, but I'm also doing some self-reflection and thinking to myself, you know, maybe the reason that I haven't had a lot of mentors is perhaps that I am not necessarily easy to mentor. And what I mean by that is there is a certain humility that comes when you're asking someone to mentor you. It's a willingness to say, you know, there's something here that I don't know how to do. And if it's, you know, really something that you don't know how to do, you actually feel vulnerable. You're going to a person who you respect and admire and then are asking them for help. And your sense of self is essentially in their hands for a moment or two. And so someone being a mentor is a very sacred trust in a way, but there's also the sense of being willing to ask for that help. And so while I would say that I have come to understand what a responsibility it is to mentor people and to, for example, when people reach out to me and they've written a blog for me, I make it a point to respond very quickly, because I know that feeling when I send something off and I feel vulnerable, to just say, I've gotten it, I will take a look at it. And so my lesson now is, am I willing to be mentored? And increasingly by people younger than me, and am I willing to be vulnerable in front of those people? And I think that's an important lesson that I am learning, and I hope will continue to learn over the next decade or so.
All right, thank you. That was a great response. Lisa, did you have something to add there?
Sure. And like Whitney, over time and through different phases, you look for different things. When I was in college, I was looking for a mentor who was much older than myself, who could really introduce me to the world of business in particular. What are the opportunities? I just didn't even know. But I sensed enough that there was so much that I didn't know, that I was looking for someone who was really far down the path. In my early career, I was I was particularly looking for people within the organizations that I worked, even within my department and then outside my department, who could help me learn how to navigate the company that I worked for, the politics, how to balance the different stresses, how to understand how the parts and pieces fit together, and to develop my career within that organization. So I was definitely looking for an in-house counsel, if you will. Now that I'm in my mid-career, I am looking more for a peer. So this person doesn't have to be so far down the road, but someone, I find myself looking for someone who can relate to the particular circumstance I'm in, not in my company, but in my life and in my work. Someone who knows what it's like to be a female leader in a predominantly male organization, you know, to be younger than most in that space, to be a Mormon woman, and to be balancing family and life and all of those wonderful things that happen in your life. So it definitely, what you're looking for evolves. I have a coach who coaches me on specific business skills that I'm working on and learning. I have a strengths coach who helps me understand how to bring my best self to every situation I'm in. I have a lot more coaching to do on that, but it's been very helpful. And a mentor through books and a live mentor who are helping me understand how to be me at this phase in my career. So I would echo what Whitney said, that you have to have a humble heart, but also a seeking heart. And with that, you will find people will be attracted to you, mentors will come to you. You have to be brave and reach out. But what you're looking for and what you will receive changes throughout your life.
Great. I really appreciate both those comments. Lisa, I just want to do a follow-up question. You said, you know, you go out and you're looking for a mentor in these certain areas. You know, how do you know where to look? What are you looking for? Are there books you look for? Or do you just kind of network to try to find someone? Any thoughts on how do you, you know, how you look?
I am a reader, so I look at a lot of books, and then I look at try and find people who are reading those books and recommending those books. Whitney and I definitely need to connect because she mentioned a book that I recently read, which is Lean In, and that was a very interesting philosophy and approach. And just talking about that with other women, you start to hear who agrees and who doesn't agree and whose ideas are similar to yours and who are challenging to you that might be helpful to you.
Whitney, did you have anything to add as far as where to look?
I think books are actually important, and I do have something to add. It's slightly different, which is the idea of a coach. We haven't really approached that, and the coach is in many ways a mentor, but someone you actually pay. And I think that if I could go back and do my career over again, I would have had a coach from day one, because there's so much to navigate in the workplace that we're just not taught in school, even remotely, and yet so much of your success really hinges on your ability to navigate things politically. So I would say, you know, look for mentors, but also be open to the idea of coaches. And so I loved hearing, Lisa, that you have two coaches. It's making me think I need to get a coach, because I think that I think there's real value in that.
And where would you find a coach? Like, is it just on, you know, are there certain websites that you could recommend, or are any of you familiar with that?
Yeah, that's fine. My two cents, and then, you know, I find that I meet a lot of people that are in that industry, and I think because coaching is such a personal thing, I mean, it's sort of, you know, close to therapy, not quite. I mean, it's much more tactical, and you don't get into the psychosocial piece. But I think that if you start just asking people, do you have a coach? Do you like them? You can network your way into someone that you'll be quite happy with.
Lisa, any thoughts, since you actually are using some coaches? How did you find them?
So my coaches came through my exploration and learning. So I went to classes, or I got involved in other programs and asked other people, well, how did you learn that? How did you get here? Found out about the coaches they had used. Met other people who were mentors, and I asked them, would you mind coaching me on the skills that I need to develop in that particular area? I currently am being coached by someone who's an author of a book that I read and offers that kind of coaching thing. I sought that out, actually met that person And so I felt that that was going to be a good connection. But most of my coaches have come through recommendations from other business leaders that I network with through, you know, marketing events and other things that I go to for my business world. But if you don't have that type of access, I would start with a question asking people who are successful, how did you get here? Who helped you? Do you have a coach? And just ask. You'd be surprised. Some of the answers will be.
Right. I think that's some really great information. And, you know, talking about that, you know, mentors are really helpful, but sometimes your mentor can lead you to other resources, you know, like coaches, and, you know, the mentor is not going to be the answer or the solution, as you said, the fairy godmother, but we can explore other things. Any final thoughts that either of you have before we end our podcast?
I think the only thing I would say is that I wrote a piece for Harvard Business Review on mentoring. It's called Get the Mentoring Equation Right. And so if people, it's not exactly what we've talked about today, but I think it's similar enough that it can give people a framework to think about that. And then I guess the last thing would be, I just reiterate what I said earlier, is that when you want to reach out to someone to mentor you, do the work to know what it is you need, and then have the courage to ask for it, and then keep it at a very limited time frame, and you'll really be off to, I think, developing some relationships that will be beneficial to both you and to the mentor.
Great. Thanks. Lisa, any final thoughts?
Yes, just to piggyback on what Whitney has so well articulated, have courage. It does take courage to ask someone to spend time, but it's actually very easy. Successful people are so busy doing that even they often have a hard time carving out time to stop and reflect. And not a lot of people ask them, how did you get here, believe it or not. So most people are very happy to talk about themselves. And you have to be genuine and a great listener. But all you have to do is be genuine, be a great listener, be open learner, and buy lunch. And you would be surprised who is happy to say, absolutely. They'll dedicate an hour, and 1 hour may turn into more. But people really... people like to talk about themselves. So it feels scary to ask someone for their time, but people will feel honored and appreciate the opportunity to share and pass on what they have worked so hard to learn. They have bruises, they have cuts, they have bumps, and they are happy to help other people avoid the pain and learn what they have learned. So don't be afraid. Ask, and you will be surprised at the positive reactions you will get.
Great. Well, thank you both so much for all of your helpful insights and for sharing some great experiences. We wish both of you continued success in all of your endeavors.